Blog Talk Radio.
The North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
This is fun. This is nuts, but this is fun. Never. You will never, ever, ever see this again. But it's fun to do it. It is fun to do it this way.
$1 a card.
You cut in when you're ready.
Am I on?
Only 56 of them.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the 100th episode of the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Robert Solomon, and I'm like Bill Goldberg. I am smarter than a fifth grader.
Or so you think.
We'll find out soon enough.
Yeah. We all know Jason Block is smarter than a fifth grader. See if I'm smarter than Jason Block. But he's not on right now. He'll be back on in a couple minutes, hopefully. He's hung up. What did you say before the show? Hung up in Hoboken?
He might be lost in Hoboken.
Ooh. I don't know what's worse, getting lost in Hoboken or getting lost in Cleveland. Anyways, let's introduce our star-studded 100th show panel with you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, we have, from Toledo, Ohio, the man single-handedly responsible for picking out Jamie Farr's Mud Hens outfit, that boy Josh Henniger.
You know, that dress, it was kind of hard to pick it out, but once I got it, the rest just fell into place.
And then from New York State, we have the MMA aficionado of the program, VRM.
Affliction is done, but what happens to their fighters? Are we going to see the Brock Fedor fight a lot sooner than we all thought?
Yeah. That dumbass Barnett. And then we have, from the Lone Star State, Texas, we have Typho.
From the 100th North American Wrestling Connection to the 200th Impact, if the rumors hold true, Mike Tenay better enjoy being called Maggle.
And then from Columbus, Ohio, we have a gal who, if she wasn't here for these 100 shows, you'd still probably have these 100 shows, but they'd be a lot less fun. Nikki Hayman.
I'm flattered. And between this and the one-year anniversary of Pro Training Wrestling coming up on August 20th, this is going to be a pretty good next 4 weeks.
Yeah, you're going to be busy from what I hear.
With the one-year anniversary show, absolutely. I'm still in talks with the promoter and a couple of the higher-ups with it. We're going to try to make it a kick-butt event, and hopefully I'll be able to get my hands on a video.
And then we have from Thibodeau, Louisiana, we have the effervescent, the personable Carl Chenier.
What?
Living up to the billing.
Absolutely. Live the gimmick, my friend. Live the gimmick.
And then, finally, we have to our program... I can't find anything funny to say against him anymore. It's fourth, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, you piece of monkey shit. Unlike you, I don't have to pay for sex.
Who picked in your post toasty this morning?
All Well, what just happened there?
I don't know.
Well, Forrest's gone.
I told a joke. That's what happened.
It's the debut of Forrest's new Brian Pillman gimmick.
Hit the confusion. Hit Shaggy's button real quick.
This is getting really confusing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shaggy. That was from Scooby-Doo, right?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Just had to make sure. Well, we had an interesting time, ladies and gentlemen. And if the previous 6 minutes were like what's going to happen in the next 120 minutes, this is going to be interesting, to say the least. So let's just hop into it right now. Let's talk about pick'ems, and we're recapping them, aren't we, BRM?
Yes. And tonight, well, I was right on. Most of us were right on some of it, although some people, three people in exact, went completely the wrong way on a certain match, and no one else gets the benefit. Starting off, Victory Road.
Yes, let's travel down that victory road. First match was the TNA Knockout title match between Angelina Love and Tara.
And with a nice little bit of shenanigans, because Slick Johnson couldn't see past Angelina and Tara when Tara's foot was on the rope, Angelina Love regains the Women's Knockout Championship.
Ooh.
Points to myself, Jason, Josh, Typho, and Carl.
So those guys are off to a flying start.
Going for that brass ring.
All right. You think I'm doing all the recapping here? Because I actually...
You can go faster if you want.
Yeah, go ahead, VRM. You take over.
All right, next match on the card was Matt Morgan versus Daniels, first of the main event Mafia matches, if you consider Morgan to actually be a member of the Mafia, or instead of just a guy who's trying to pal around to Kurt Angle.
I'd like to compare it as... You guys ever watch Deadliest Catch?
I do.
Okay. The Main Event Mafia is like the regular crew. I'll compare it to the Northwestern on Deadliest Catch.
Yay.
Kurt Angle is Sig Hansen.
Oh, boy.
He wishes he was Sig Hansen. Sorry.
I say that because, as we know, Kurt's a little nuts and Sig's also a little nuts. Then we have the rest of the crew, and we have Matt Morgan, who plays the role of a greenhorn. He's there, but he's not officially there.
Not quite.
Yeah.
All right, well, this match, well, Morgan trying to cement his relationship with the Mafia, and this one was pretty academic, straight down the books. Morgan gets the win and gets the sweep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then next up.
Next up. The what was the stipulation? It was a no disqualification match. Dr. Stevie versus Abyss. Abyss with new gear.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, got out of the insane asylum scrubs, whatever scrubs they were, his white little prison outfit. Got on what looked like his old pants and a new black vest and actually new black jacket. Trying to make a description. I'm not very good at it. Anyway, Daphne tried to bring a taser down. Daphne got intercepted. And Abyss took the taser, stunned Stevie with it, and gets the 1-2-3. So points to Josh, Typho, Carl, Rob, and Forth.
Yay for me.
Dang it.
And let us welcome the man of the hour, the cream of the crop, Jason Block.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. I was not running scared of you, Mr. Seidelman. I was just a little delayed. I was in Jersey doing some work. But I am here ready to take my trivia crown away from you.
I wasn't saying you were running scared.
Well, I know that, but I'm just trying to, you know, it's a wrestling promo. It's a wrestling show. It's the 100th episode. Come on. Come on. We're having fun, right?
So, Jason, how was Hoboken?
Ooh, I'm dying. No, it was not Hoboken. It was the lovely city of Tenafly, New Jersey. Actually, a friend of mine came in from Ohio, and I met him with a bunch of friends, with a couple friends, and then we just picked up at the airport, and then I had some things I had to do, and then I just came back now. So I heard we're reviewing the craptacularness known as Victory Road, correct?
We're actually doing that right now.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, we just got up to the IWGP Tag Titles, British Invasion versus Team 3D. So I've forgotten what actually happened in the match now. Team 3D retained the titles, but then came out came Bashir and Kiyoshi trying to make something out of it, and for the troubles, Bashir ate some wood.
Isn't that what they always do?
Yeah.
I wasn't going to go there. I was. That's okay.
Well, once we get into some impact talk, you'll explain. It all comes together. And
yeah,
now let's just skip the cat fight.
Yeah. Points for the IWGP titles go to me, Josh, Typo, Nikki, and Carl. And now to
the five-star Matt Classic of the show.
There's an appropriate sound effect, Rob. Could you please?
Yo, Hopper here.
Is that a brand new one, by the way?
Yeah.
You're welcome, Rob.
That was beautiful.
Keep my way later, Rob.
Charvel versus Jenna. Only three people decided to give anything, give two spits about this match, and all three of them turned out to be wrong. Those three people.
Yeah.
That's why you take the half point.
Come on.
To quote Randy Orton, shut your mouth.
So, half points to Jason, me, Typho, Carl, and Rob for being smart and
up your nose with the rubber hose.
If you're going to go out on the line, you got to go big, like picking Shelton Benjamin to win the WWE title.
Where's Tommy Boots?
Moving on.
Yes, and also being forced to have an avatar on the scrap farm saying Robert Keith Seidelman is the sexiest man alive.
Naturally.
All right.
Interesting story.
Moving on to the Legends title. Sorry if I cut you off there, Carl. Moving on to the Legends title.
Sorry.
And everyone, let's point a laugh at Rob now.
We all knew it because Kurt Angle telegraphed it, but we knew it even before the match was going to happen.
I don't have to say anything. I could just play this all night long while you guys razzing me.
Go to hell! You're damn right we will.
Anyway, Nash gets the win and the title. Everyone gets a point except for Rob.
Now, let's talk about this backstage segment. They implied that Slick Johnson was in the shower of Madison Rain to reward him for helping Angelina win back the Knockout title, so I guess let's just move on.
Yeah, okay. Nat?
Yeah, that's the best thing.
Moving on to the TNA tag titles, and everyone here except the one person should be ashamed.
Shut up.
That one person is Nikki because she actually got this right.
Oh.
Who did she pick?
She picked the Mafia to win the tag titles, which was telegraphed by Kurt Angle earlier tonight, as we all cringed when we heard that. Except for Nikki, who... And the Mafia matches is 3 for 3. Mafia is now 3 for 3. Can they make it 4 for 4? Well, with the next match being Joe versus Sting.
Yeah,
it's pretty safe bet that they will. Taz comes out, although did Taz do anything other than just come out?
He just came out and just stood there. He didn't do anything. He got the Conway pop, basically.
Not for nothing. It was a rocket buster.
Yeah, pretty much. It busted something, but...
That was a sweep there.
You know, I mean, I'm sorry, but didn't do anything for me. And didn't do anything for a lot of people. And even the promo on Impact the next night, whatever, on Sunday, Thursday didn't do anything well anyway. But, yeah, Sting wins.
Yeah. Joe wins.
Joe wins, I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah, Joe wins by Kikina Clutch. So that's 4 for 4. And now to the TNA World Heavyweight Championship, Mick Foley versus Kurt Angle.
But wait.
$45? Oh,
yeah. About the promo that happened beforehand.
Yes, Bobby Lashley comes out and surprise, 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 challenges Brock Lesnar.
That ain't happening.
Yeah, okay.
It's like Back to the Future 4. Not happening.
Well, it might happen now that UFC is now the only promotion in the United States for the heavyweight division that's, maybe Strikeforce, but moving on.
Ooh.
The world title match, and with a moderately sprained ankle. Not a broken one, not a severely sprained, but a moderately sprained ankle. Mick Foley is forced to tap out. Kurt Angle retains the TNA World Championship, and the Mafia gets a clean sweep.
Yep.
Did you say Foley tweaked his ankle?
Ooh.
Oh.
Ooh.
Where's a whammy when you need it?
You.
Ouch.
And that brings us to the end of the card and to the scores. In last place, not matching his record for futility, but still doing pretty bad, is Rob with 4.5.
Oh.
In second to last, he got fourth with just barely better than with 5.
Oh, by the way, Jason, you missed the first 6 minutes of the show.
Yes.
Forbes spouted out of something and he left the show.
Okay. He left? He just left?
Yeah.
He quit? Are you serious? He quit?
No, I think he hung up on Rob.
What happened? Good question. Okay. I'm sorry that Forrest is upset, but go on.
All right. Next up is Jason with 5.5.
Yuck.
Nikki's next with 6.
Woohoo!
I thought I really took it. Go ahead.
Then there's me with 6.5. Built it like halfway. Yeah. Josh. Could have been tied for the lead if he chose the half point, but he didn't, so he came in second with 7.
And here's the deal. If Charmel won, this wouldn't be a problem.
And tied for first is Carl and Typho, since Typho went in with the title, your winner and still NAWC Fizzleweight Champion with 7.5, Typho.
Wow, congratulations.
Who, and I'm not sure if this is a first or not, had the title wrapped up and all polished for it with his name back on the plate by 9:30?
Oh, God.
What happens when you're the best in the world at what you do, and none of you hypocrites or sycophants or bulbous manatees can touch me?
I will touch you, Typho, and it isn't going to be pretty.
Well, you got tonight to deal with that because we have Night of Champions to do pick'ems for, but we're not going to get on to that until later on in the show.
Right on.
I'll walk into Night of Champions with the belt, and I'll walk out still with it wrapped around my waist.
Got it.
In your dreams, pal.
Whoo, wow, this is, wow, 100th show, war of words. I'm liking this.
Yeah, we got excitement going. You gotta love excitement.
Hey, at least I got my hand on the title.
Do we? So what do we do next? News? What do we do?
We're gonna talk some TNA.
Oh no!
somebody has been dipping his wick where he shouldn't be.
Oh boy.
Or at least the boys don't think it should be there. Which is
gold mine.
What?
Nobody.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
The gals didn't mind.
I was just
honestly.
Anyways, moving on.
The whole story is actually much ado about nothing, to be honest, but it's the perception of the story that makes it what it is.
Kurt Angle, well, Jarrett not going to be involved with anything this next month?
Pretty much, yeah. You mind if I get this one, if that's okay?
I was just going to point out that Kurt Angle is starting to have a heavier hand in things. Maybe it's what Dixie's doing to keep him in TNA after Bound for Glory when his contract runs out.
Well, that rumor has been confirmed to be false, that he has not been handed the book or anything like that. The reason why is that a rumor that was confirmed, let's just say that's been going on for months, is that Jeff Jarrett is dating Karen Angle, Kurt Angle's ex-wife. The boys in the back do not like that fact because, A, Kurt Angle just had a divorce. By the way, Kurt and Jeff are getting along. They're not, what's the word I'm looking for? They're not...
Butting heads
in any way. But they also feel, at least the boys do, that it's been too soon since Jeff Jarrett's wife's death for this to happen the way it is.
2007?
What was it, 2007 or 2008 that Jarrett's wife died?
That's right.
Okay. So, I mean, look, you want to know, look, Karen Angle was divorced from Kurt. Jeff is a widower. This means nothing, honestly. I really do. I think the big villain in this particular case is Dixie Carter. Whose business is it of hers what two people are doing? You know?
Well, with her arms, the company, she has business, because isn't she like 50% owner?
Well, yes.
She's 68, but yeah.
68%?
I think. Let me double check my math.
Wow. I didn't know she had that heavy of a hand in TNA. I thought it was just 50%.
I think she has a heavier hand than Jeff does.
And I understand where Dixie's kind of coming from. I just think the media is blowing it out of proportion. She's worried that there could be a problem if the other boys are grumbling about it. You don't need any more locker room dissension than there might already be. And you're disrupting a lot more locker room. Not just Jarrett and Angle, but if they're the problems, you get them out of the locker room.
And honestly, the whole Victory Road / Impact, which if you want to get into that, shows the problem with TNA. TNA could be a legitimate force to be reckoned with within the wrestling industry. They're not. Because basically, TNA at this point in time, and Nikki and I have discussed this on many occasions, has become WCW 2000. They're relying too heavy on stars that are way past their prime when they should be grooming homegrown talent such as Beer Money, such as AJ Styles, such as Eric Young, such as, you understand where I'm coming from, correct?
Yeah, that's where I'm getting from, and that's why I kind of liked this edition of TNA Impact. Because you saw a great match between, a good short match between Joe and Homicide, which will lead up to a later match between Joe and Hernandez, spoiler. And then you have a great showcase of up-and-coming talent, a great showcase of who's going to be the next in the big boy pool between AJ Styles and Matt Morgan, a best two of three.
Right.
And then you have a formation of the World Elite.
Mm-hmm.
Which Nikki pointed this out to me via IM, and I thought this was interesting.
Yeah, go ahead. Or do you want me to say it?
You say it, Nikki, because I think what you pointed out to me is actually pretty truthful.
Okay. Essentially, what we're seeing here is that the main event mafia is the NWO. The World Elite is now the B team. The originals, or the former front line, is WCW. And then we have Foley, Lashley, Jarrett, and you threw Sting into this as the Wolf Pack.
Yuck.
So essentially, TNA is now in reruns.
Bobby Lashley be playing the role of Goldberg?
Pretty much.
No.
Fitz?
I'd say Matt Morgan's playing the role of Goldberg. You don't know about Lashley yet.
Yes. Russo, you bastard. Anyway. Yeah.
That night I
noticed Russo got a little bump in power, and already his first show there was something on a pole.
I was shaking my fist in anger and screaming, Russo! Wow, that was a big lightning bolt outside my window.
No. Not too loud there, VRM. He's listening.
No, but here's the deal with this. I mean, what do you think TNA has to do to improve?
I'm the Dr. Phil show.
I mean,
yeah.
Get
out of the impact. You know, the easy answer is get out of the impact zone. Maybe book a small, you know, like a guard, National Guard Armory or something like in Georgia to do a 2 weeks worth of impact in one night.
They don't even have to go that far. They can go to Kissimmee, to this little place I know that used to be called the Tupperware Center. It's not very big, and they could operate out of there, or they could even go into my hometown and hit the Melbourne Auditorium.
Exactly. What they need, and also, honestly, what they need to do is cut prices of their house shows and just, you know, make the shows affordable. They really do.
Like, get a four-pack of tickets for, like, $40?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
That would work.
I mean,
they are returning to my state pretty soon.
Yeah, could you put it to you this way? You know, what's the word? Where are they playing? Do you know?
Oh, wow. These are two different biscuits.
I think they're playing.
I mean, in Louisiana, right? So let me. I'm going to look up something because we've got, what, about a couple minutes before we have the independent wrestlers on, correct?
In about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because honestly, there really wasn't that much of a newsworthy thing outside of, say, Aerosmith being on TNA, you know?
Yeah.
Pretty much so.
He's not TNA.
Okay, I got it up here.
Okay, where are they playing?
August 8th in Baton Rouge at the River Center Arena and on the 9th in Alexandria.
Could you check what the ticket
Paris
prices are?
Team.
Could you check out what the prices are?
Yeah, let's see. Let me check Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
By the way, just wanted to do a little quick update. Panda Energy owns 72% of the company, not 68.
Okay.
72.
Yep.
Wow. And we have a new caller on there. I think this is who I think this is. And good evening, gentlemen. if I could, if my switchboard doesn't keep on screwing up. Good evening, gentlemen.
Hello?
Hello, welcome to our fair program.
Oh, I made it through. Oh, my.
Vintage Michael Cole!
No, stop that.
No.
Sorry. Oh, my, it usually creates a vintage Michael Cole thing. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start a new segment on the program. Some people are kind of confused. When they see a wrestling show on WWE, TNA, or maybe when they watch a Ring of Honor's video wire, they see what wrestling normally is. But that is far from the case. There's various independent outfits all across the United States. And we'd like to discuss the differences between wrestling in independent shows and wrestling in the big two, or in some cases people might say the big three. So joining us here on our program tonight, we have some great talent from Insanity Pro Wrestling and various other independents such as the WWC in Ohio. We have Dustin Reyes and Astonishing Aaron Williams to our program.
Welcome.
Thank you for appearing, gentlemen.
Hey, it's now. Oh my God! Is that Aaron Williams? Is that Aaron Williams out here on the other line? Aaron, is that you?
It is me, Dustin. What is going on, my friend?
Oh my! I'm so glad that your tiny little phone managed to call all the way to Blog Talk Radio.
You know what? I am as well. I didn't think it was going to make it, but it has pulled its way through.
Thank you so much for coming out.
Yes,
seriously.
Thank you very much for coming.
It's absolutely both of our pleasures. Am I right, Aaron Williams?
You are absolutely right. Thank you for having me.
The way you two are sounding, you two sound like you could make a great radio team. It's like the Astonishing Rays, 5-9, here on WFST 94.9 FM.
Maybe Sunday, yeah. I don't know.
Your number one choice for Rock.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Aaron Williams and I, we're not really cut out for radio. Our faces aren't really meant for radio. They're meant to be seen by everyone. Isn't that right, Aaron Williams?
Oh, thanks for, man, the massive putting us over. So thank you for that. Yeah.
You guys, okay, I'm sorry. Here I am just talking off. You guys have any questions? I mean, you think there's a lot of people out there that have a lot of questions about independent wrestling or
well,
things they know about wrestling?
Well, absolutely. Robert, do you mind if I start this one off?
I must point out that we also have some independent wrestling connections with our own show staff or something along those lines. You all know Nikki Hayman, a ring manager for such hot tag teams as Adrenaline X and some stripper guy by the name of Candy Charles.
Hey.
Adrenaline X.
Yeah, Adrenaline X.
Is Adrenaline X those two jabronis down from Cincinnati who have no idea what wrestling is? You know, if they had any idea what wrestling was, they would be hanging out with Dustin Reyes and Aaron Williams.
Aaron
Williams may not be so forward about this, but you know Dustin Reyes is.
Well,
yes,
I know you guys run Mathis a lot, but that's okay.
Yes, I was researching you two on YouTube for the past couple of weeks. I've seen your promos. So I know you're a straight shooter.
It's not that I'm not a straight shooter, per se. I'm just not mean.
Very well then. And then we have Jason Buck, who's going to fire off the first question. He is a ring announcer for various independents in New York State, I do believe. Is that right, Jason?
I have done independent work for National Wrestling Superstars in New Jersey and Funkified Wrestling in Delaware, and a couple of feds called Forgotten Championship Wrestling in Brooklyn for a guy by the name of Tony Tantelis, who runs the Wounded Warrior Project. But my first question is to you guys. I know it's not exactly a high-paying gig, the independent wrestling scene. What are your two guys' day jobs while you're trying to make it in the biz?
Oh, no, man.
My job is wrestling.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I live, I breathe, I sleep the business. I don't do anything else.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, some independent wrestlers do have other jobs to support themselves.
Yeah.
I think, from what I heard, I think Tyler Black works at a Waffle House, I believe.
I would believe it. But I can, you know, I can honestly speak for myself and Aaron Williams, and I can definitely say, and Aaron Williams, can say from the bottom of his heart, he does nothing else but wrestle. That's all we do.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I do. My days are spent studying and, you know, lifting weights usually, which doesn't really show that much, but it's there.
That's cool.
I don't know. From what I've seen, it's starting to show really well.
Cool. Thank you.
I mean,
you know what?
Since...
You just put a huge smile on Aaron Williams' face,
yep.
And I tell him all the time. I tell him all the time how handsome of a man he is. And you know what? I don't care how flamboyantly gay that sounds. Williams is a handsome man.
Oh, we're gonna have a fun time tonight. I just want to come out with a simple question to start off with.
Just said you're
people...
coming out. That's not good.
Haven't come out yet. Anyways.
I'll step over here.
It's a sticky situation. Oh, crap. Sticky situation. Oh, God. Let's just move on.
That's what
right.
He says, right?
All right. The simple question I want to start off with in with most interviews probably ask, how did you get started in the world of professional wrestling? What was your inspiration to start wrestling?
Aaron, would you like to go first?
Sure, I'll go first. Well, like you know, a lot of wrestling guys, they usually, or females, they usually get involved by watching it on TV and so on and so forth. But for me, I actually I got my first taste of independent wrestling, I don't know, in like 99 when HWA, Heartland Wrestling Association, had the developmental deal with the Fed. And I went and watched a few of their shows, and from that point on, I was basically hooked. And then a few years went by, and then I decided I wanted to become a wrestler myself. And a buddy of mine was at this little rinky-dink place learning how to be a wrestler, and he told me about it. And I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and throw my hat in the ring, and that's how I got into it.
And Dustin?
Well... Not too far off. I mean, it's really similar. I've watched professional wrestling since I was 3 years old. The first memory of professional wrestling I have is of crap. Hold on. Come to me. I get hit in the head a lot. First memory I have of professional wrestling is Hulk Hogan versus The Ultimate Warrior. I remember watching it in my basement on a crappy TV. Then on, it has been a passion of mine my entire life. At the age of 13, I knew what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to be a pro wrestler. At the age of 16, I started seeking out pro wrestling camps and found that very quickly, pro wrestling is a shady, shady business. I, though, was very fortunate enough to meet a man who was trained at the Monster Factory by Bobby Fulton. Now, this man took it and his good graces to teach me the art of professional wrestling. Pretty much I had my first professional wrestling match in 2001 at the age of 17, and it's all been history to since.
Wow, your answer was way better than mine.
Nonsense.
Sounds like you thought about that. I was just, you know.
No. You know what my biggest joy of professional wrestling is?
What would that be?
Besides just being Dustin Reyes, wow, third class white trash. You know, I swear to God, they are all over the state. And boy, you know what? Aaron Williams is a completely different story. He's my yang to my yin or whatever. He's the opposite of me. People hate Dustin Reyes, and you know what? It's probably because I tell it like it is. Honestly, I think the majority of wrestling fans are third-class white trash. But that's just my opinion. Now, Aaron Williams would probably say differently, wouldn't you, Aaron?
Yeah, I probably would. I think all people have the ability to be wonderful human beings either way. So, yeah, we are the yin and yang, I guess.
Which is the exact opposite of my statement.
Leads me to my next question, because from what I've gathered in one organization, a wrestler can be a nasty, mean, old heel, and yet in another organization, not 2 days later, you play a waving to the fans, lovable face type guy. How do you handle...
Some days it's
since within 2 hours. I know you guys do double shots all the time.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, that's true. Right now, the fans in Insanity Pro Wrestling in Indianapolis, Indiana, 10th and Rays. But I think it's all of Aaron Williams. Aaron Williams is probably the only reason people like Dustin Rays, and I have him to thank for that.
You're welcome.
I want to talk about Insanity Pro Wrestling for a few moments right now, because that's where Nikki met up with you two and helped, and I'd like to thank her for getting you two on the show, because it's been fun for the past 10 minutes.
It's actually not where I met Nikki Hayman.
Yeah,
really?
Me either, actually.
That's true. I met you guys at Generation of Destination.
Yeah,
CDW.
Many years ago.
That's actually you're incorrect. You're incorrect. Well, for you maybe, but I met Nikki Hayman at OVW in Cincinnati.
OVW in Louisville, though?
No,
they're running in Cincinnati.
They were doing Second Saturday. That's right. You and Brandon came up to Second Saturday and watched with me one day.
Yep.
I remember that. Aaron, I think I met at the Generation of Destination show where I managed Dustin and what was his name?
I don't remember the guy's name either. Some funny little name. I don't know.
Who?
I want to say Justin Sane, but that's not right.
Yeah.
Oh, who I tagged with?
Yeah.
The guy I tagged with was a guy named Izzy For Real, who had the worst wrestling gear I've ever seen.
The worst wrestling gear that you've ever seen?
He had an iron-on t-shirt, and he had a gym shorts that he drew flames on with a magic marker. The worst wrestling gear I've ever seen.
Okay, that's probably...
Oh, no, I'd have to give it to the crybaby whose gimmick, I believe, is a crybaby who has a shot on that says... Looks like it was horribly tacked on. I am not a crybaby.
Oh, yeah. That's for my match.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I kind of got us off track. But what was your question about IPW again?
Oh, the commish. your general manager, the commissioner. Does he normally get confused for being Richard Karn, a.k.a. Al from Jewel Time?
Oh, you know what? Cannot go out to eat once without having him. Everybody thinks that he is Al Borland. That's why we don't hang out anymore. You know what? I couldn't stand all the fans running up to him and asking for autographs and then asking who I was. What do I care?
Yeah.
Anyways, next question.
I'll ask
go ahead, Nick.
You want Nikki to do it? Go ahead, Nikki.
Which question am I talking about here?
Any one, I guess.
Okay.
Do you guys have like a list or a script? I mean, you guys are killing me.
No, we just...
No, this is... No, unlike the WWE, we are unscripted.
Oh.
That's a shoot.
Just went there, ladies and gentlemen.
Did you know that Aaron Williams and I like giant armadillos?
Yes.
Oh,
and
God.
He's our best friend.
Do you also know that Aaron Williams and I was recently on MSNBC?
Yes, we were.
How so?
Oh, sorry, I missed that. What happened? And what did you do?
Aaron Williams and I were actually doing a fundraiser in Elkhart, Indiana, which Elkhart, Indiana actually has the highest unemployment rate in the country, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm.
MSNBC was out there, and they just happened to catch the two pretty faces known as Dustin Rays and Aaron Williams.
Does that go to your resume disc?
Is that going to be on my resume that I was on MSNBC?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody cares.
Yeah, I don't either. we got to watch it, too. It was only like a 2-second clip or something.
No, it's cool. That's something I will ask. You guys have to drive all over creation when it comes to your craft. Compare how many hours you're on the road to how many minutes you're actually in the ring getting done what you're doing.
Do you want me to describe a day for you from myself and Aaron Williams?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Generally, generally Aaron Williams will ride up to my house, which me and Aaron do not live close together at all.
Not at all.
We live about
like
two and a half hours away. He'll drive up to my apartment. He'll stay the night with me, and then the next day we'll make our arduous journey to whatever godforsaken town we're going to, whether it be Elkhart, Indiana, or whether it be Piqua, Ohio. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make that arduous journey. It'll be 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. Elkhart was a five-hour trip.
You're at the border.
What's that?
You're at the Illinois border.
The Illinois border, I believe it is. It's close to Lake Michigan, if I wasn't mistaken.
Okay.
Passing through such town. There was seriously a town that we went through named Turtle Town, where there were giant turtles everywhere. Giant statues of turtles.
That was pretty awesome. I wish we'd
have seen that. Did you find Possum Junction yet? That one I've been through.
Did you say Possum Junction?
Yes.
Possum Junction? No, I never went there. Actually, I'll never stop in Possum Junction because I like I'd like to keep my anal virginity.
I barely got out of there alive. I don't know if it was in Kentucky or Southern Indiana. I'm not going to go back and find out.
Anyways,
I interrupted.
Me and Aaron will make that arduous journey to whatever godforsaken town we are headed to. Get dressed, which generally we're in a cramped locker room with guys who don't use deodorant or have heard of anything like.
Yep. Oh God, I've done that. That is so much fun.
Now, then you know we'll make our way to the ring, throwing our bodies all over the ring, throwing other men all over the ring. Generally, we're throwing other people around the ring because we're that good. And then once we've pinned them for the 1-2-3, we go back to the locker room in victory. We undress, which seems to be the hardest thing ever to do, is undress. And then we make the trip all the way back to my place, and then all the way back to his place. And then you know what? About 5 days later, maybe two, maybe three, it doesn't matter, depending on the week, we do it all over again.
That's good times.
Wow.
Now, a question. I assume both of you guys have seen the movie The Wrestler, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. How accurate do you believe that was a portrayal of independent wrestling as a whole?
Man, that's how I live my life every day. I live in a van.
I do not live in a van, and it's not down by a river. And, I don't know. I guess it matters of what kind of wrestler you are. I mean, if you, I guess for him, trying for the character that Mickey Rourke portrayed, and trying to get back up on top all the time and everything like that, and the things that he went through, I guess, yeah, maybe that is the way life is for him. But as for me personally, that's not my portrayal of independent wrestling at all. That's way different from the way I view professional or independent wrestling in general. But that's.
I'll agree with Aaron on that one. That doesn't describe myself or Aaron Williams, but what it does describe is a lot of people. I know people like the Ram, okay? I know people who have been on top who are now working the indie scene just trying to make a buck off a name that barely anybody can remember anymore.
Yeah.
I'll give you a prime example of that right now.
Marty Jannetty.
You've heard this. I'll give you a prime example of that right now because recently in Seattle, this wrestling clown thing took place.
Oh, you mean the Jim Rowe Circus? That one?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the one with Jake the Snake Roberts? God help.
Jake
us.
The Snake Roberts, Kizarni, aka Sin Bodhi. Whatever name he's going by this week. They were recently up in Seattle. I didn't see it, mainly because I'm afraid of clowns.
As am I. That's funny.
Yeah.
In Seattle?
Yeah.
Do you live in Seattle?
Tacoma, but it's not that bad of a bus ride there.
Oh, I see. You know, what's funny is I actually have a friend from Seattle. He said he loves it. Back.
Seattle's a magnificent place.
Yeah. Heard nothing but good things.
Yes.
Now, okay, I've got what I was going to ask is, how close have you guys had in way of opportunities up towards the big three, you know, with Ring of Honor, TNA, trying to think of another big end. I'm not going to use WWE because I don't know if you guys have even had that far of a tryout. I know that John Moxley has had a couple of ducks with them. You have a mutual friend in Andre Hart, who I'm going to try to get on this show because I want to hear about his transition. Have you guys come anywhere close on the big three?
With the big three, it's always about timing. And with wrestling, and most people don't know this, nobody's out there looking for you, okay? Nobody's out there looking for us, me and Aaron Williams. That's why me and Aaron Williams drive endless hours, week in and week out, just so people can know who we are, you know? Mm-hmm. Personally, myself, at one time I had an open door to a TNA dark match through Larry Zbysko. Larry Zbysko asked me if I wanted it, and I would be an idiot to say no, so I said yes. Unfortunately, about a month later, Larry Zbysko no longer worked for TNA, so that went my first shot. But currently, me and Aaron Williams are seeking out opportunities at this moment.
So would you guys like to plug an email, a website, a MySpace, if we actually have a promoter listening tonight?
If you would like to find Aaron Williams or myself, Dustin Rays, you can find myself at myspace.com/DustinRays, all one word, except for the one word that's, you know what I mean. Aaron Williams, where can they find you at?
Pretty much
you can find Aaron Williams, link to Dustin Rays' MySpace page.
Well, you can.
Astonishing Aaron Williams.
That would be an easy way to do it, but I also have a MySpace/ Astonishing Aaron. That's pretty much it.
That's all one word.
Yes, one word. Sorry.
Yes, that seems to be a theme for MySpace. All one word. I want to ask you, what type of creative, you know, normally when you talk about the big three, they talk about everything has to be done a separate way. It has to be one way or otherwise you're gone. What's creative-wise like in independent wrestling, you know, like, you know, either when you're setting up your match and how you perform the match?
Do you mean why do people wrestle one way on the independents and why do people wrestle the other way on TNA and WWE?
Yeah.
Because of money.
Okay.
And I'll tell you exactly why. When you have a contract in TNA or WWE, and we'll just use WWE as a perfect example, the WWE has a touring schedule that is absolutely unreal. Trust me. No. Okay. Now, when you are going out there every night and just absolutely burning it up and killing yourself, that tends to take a little bit of a toll on your body. You know, and when I say a little bit, I exaggerate. I mean a lot.
Oh, yeah.
All right? Now, your body is your moneymaker. Your voice, your face, your skill, it's all your moneymaker. Why are you going to jeopardize that, jeopardize your family, jeopardize your income for your family when you don't have to? Okay? Now, in the WWE, you make money on your personality, on your character alone. Wrestling, you know what? Nobody is going to remember. We'll use Ring of Honor as another example. Matches in Ring of Honor, especially early Ring of Honor, like with Jack Evans and a lot of the young high flyers, would do a million different high-flying moves in one match, generally one right after another. Now, if you were to go back and ask a fan, hey, do you remember when this happened? Do you remember when that move happened? They probably couldn't tell you because so much happens at once. These guys are so busy putting over their moves, and they're not putting over their character. People remember emotion more than they do moves. That's why WWE wrestling is different from independent wrestling, because on the indies, everybody's trying to do the coolest move and do the coolest flip and say, hey, I have the best match. Nobody is trying to put themselves over as a character, because you know what? Your match isn't going to make money. Your character is going to make you money. Unfortunately, nobody realizes that. Well, not nobody, but not very many people in the NEC. Everybody wants to have the best match. They don't want to put themselves over and don't want to put their characters over. That's what's going to get them noticed, okay? Not
right.
The match.
Do you think that is the biggest problem in independent wrestling, that because of the high-flying style of, say, a Ring of Honor or, say, independent stars like, for example, a Paul London or a Jeff Hardy and Omega, that people would want to, that wrestlers would want to do, say, a crazy match instead of developing a persona?
Let me put it to you this way. That's one of the huge problems with independent wrestling. One of the many problems with independent wrestling, okay? Not to mention the fact that anybody thinks they can be a wrestler. Anybody who steps in with a pair of tennis shoes and a T-shirt thinks they can be a wrestler nowadays. Do you understand that wrestling used to be like the mafia? In fact, it was harder than the mafia to get into, okay? You ask the old-timers how hard it was for them to get in the business, and they will tell you it was hard as hell, right? Guys like, I tell you what, if you get a really good, if you ever get a chance, watch the Before They Were Stars, the one with Al Snow on it, and he tells an amazing story about before he was trained by Jim Lancaster, he actually went down and tried out the NWA wrestling school with, goddamn, what was their name? And the Andersons. And he got his ass kicked. Got his ass absolutely kicked by the Andersons. And you know what? They took his money and they shoved him on his way. That's how hard the wrestling business used to be in to get into. You know, nowadays, all you have to do is get a ring and then get in there and, hey, I'm a wrestler. Yeah, you're not a wrestler, right? I'm sorry, I went off on a tangent there.
No, that's great.
That's good.
But
And that's why you don't see me in there trying to tumble around and do what you guys. That's why you guys give me a microphone and let me do my thing.
Now, I'll tell you what, just more to reinforce my point about how nobody knows what they're doing. Nobody has the right mindset on the indie scene. Well, not everybody, but the majority of people, and I'm sure Aaron will agree with me on this one. Who do you think, in your opinion, is the greatest wrestler of all time?
Right now, Ric Flair. Are you just polling the crowd? Is that what you're doing?
Well, I'm just anybody. I mean, Nikki, Aaron, who do you think the greatest wrestler of all time is?
Shawn Michaels.
Triple H.
I have a tie for my top three.
Yeah.
It'd be Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat, and I've always been an unapologetic fan of Kevin Sullivan.
You want to know who I think is the greatest wrestler of all time?
Who is that?
Hulk Hogan. Do you want to know why?
Why?
You put butts in seats?
Yes. He can go out. And can I cuss?
Yeah.
Sure. We've had that at the beginning of the show, so go ahead.
Okay. He can go out in front of millions of people, not do shit, and get himself over and sell tickets. That is why he's the greatest wrestler of all time. You know what? Can he go out there and can he wrestle like Ric Flair? Can he put on as many holds? Can he go out there and work like... No, he can't.
No,
you know what?
He didn't have to.
Right.
Absolutely didn't have to.
Because his
you
character was everything else. The character.
He was over. He was over like nobody has ever been over before. Nobody will ever be able to be as popular as Hulk Hogan. So that's why... And that's my perfect example for what's wrong with the indie scene. Everybody wants to have the best match. They don't want to be the match that sells the most tickets.
You know, I can understand your point of view, but I will respectfully disagree. And I understand exactly where you're coming from. But there's a difference, in my opinion, between the greatest wrestler and the greatest character, in my personal opinion. Because what you're saying is, you know, Hogan, you're right. He had absolutely no wrestling talent, but his gimmick got over. You know, I understand that, and I respect that totally.
If you're talking from a purely skill level, that's a whole other story. But I'm talking as, when I say wrestler, I don't mean skill level. I mean wrestler as in this great sport of professional wrestling, okay? There's a big difference between just the most skillful wrestler and then the greatest wrestler. Okay, because that's what, let's say, we'll just call him, and I'm not trying to use work terms here, but we'll call him the greatest worker of all time.
Yeah.
Okay. That's very cool. What do you think?
Ask me the greatest wrestler with the greatest wrestling ability. Hands down, it's Chris Benoit. Nobody can touch him. No Nobody can touch him. Not Ric Flair. Ric Flair does the same match over and over again.
Okay. Even Steamboat?
Steamboat. Still not the greatest skill. No, I mean, you still can't touch Chris Benoit. Great wrestler.
Thank you. You don't know how much that means to me.
Aaron, what would you say?
Oh, I'm sorry, what? I'm still going to, you know, my all-time favorite wrestler is Shawn Michaels because he can tie in kind of everything, so I will always respect him for that. But as far as Ricky Steamboat goes, Ricky Steamboat, as Ric Flair said many times, he's the greatest babyface who will ever live. As far as a wrestler, he's awesome. So, that's my opinion.
Next question. Independent wrestling fans, as a whole, more loyal than, say, the big ones, less loyal? What do you think?
Are you talking about, like, internet fans?
No, not internet fans. Like, the fans that will, you know, that will come out to, say, a crowd of 25, but will be there at every show, you know, that you go to.
You know what I compare them to? I compare them to, like, you know when you have, like, this really small band that's kind of like a local band, and not too many people know about them, and they just have their die-hard group of fans. That's what that reminds me of. It reminds me of how I felt when I was, like, you know, fans of, like, bands that were not so known, and then they blew up, you know what I mean? They're great. They're die-hard fans. And some of them are missing a lot of teeth, and some of them don't smell that great, but you know what? I would not give them up for the world.
Yeah, I agree with Dustin on that one. Some of the most loyal fans you have are they're always there for you, and in the greatest sense of the word, they're going to more than likely back you up in whatever you decide to do, and they're always going to think you're great no matter what. And those guys are kind of, in some aspects, like I wrestle at this little place down here in Ohio, and to be honest with you, I really I'm having real difficulties with the promoters and everything like that, but the fans are what keeps me going down there because they're extremely loyal. And when you get a loyal fan, you want to keep a hold of it because they're in a sense they kind of become family in a way. I mean, not like in the aspect of you write or you call every day, but in the aspect of you can always expect them to be there. So I like loyalty.
That's also, I mean, there's also a flip side to that, too. Those fans just like being, pairing them to those diehard, you know, music fans who, like, don't want to, just love their band because they feel like it's special to them. If that band blows up, kind of turn on you. Now, not everybody does that, but it seems like a lot of them do.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that with a lot of guys who've actually made it in the business. Like, they're just fans just completely turn on them, and they refuse to watch them. And it's really sad because they should be happy with their success.
I'll give you a perfect example there. I know somebody who was a big fan of Nickelback early on in their career, you know, their first couple of albums, and he thought they were great. When they got more popular and when they started to become more mainstream, it was like, what the hell?
Yeah,
they
absolutely.
Just became...
They're like, that's, you know, they used to be cool until they came out with this album. Same thing with Slipknot. I'm a huge metal fan. I loved Slipknot ever since they had their first album, their first demo album, Mayfeet Kill Repeat. And then after, you know, they came out with their self-titled, that's when they started gaining a lot of, like, speed. And then everybody was, like, all turning on them, like, oh, no, they slipped, they suck, and this and that. I still like them. I still like their music. I mean, just, I don't care. You know, I'm happy with their success. Damn, this guy's busted their ass. You know, I would want somebody to do that for me. I would want somebody to be happy with my success. Because I tell you what, I'm honestly, we don't make a whole lot of money. Trust me, we don't have insurance, and we are killing ourselves, okay? Killing ourselves for the enjoyment of everybody who sits around that damn ring, whether or not they stink or smell or third-class white trash, and I don't really like them. You know what? That's who we're really doing it for, because without them, there's no show.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Just wrestling in front of nobody. We're wrestling grown men in tights for our own pleasure, and you know what? That sounds fruity. But I don't know. Maybe I'm going off on a tangent. Maybe
no,
Aaron.
No. This is awesome. This is great. This is great. So you were talking about you're talking about promoters being good or bad. Of the promoters who you've worked with, I mean, have you? What's like the worst experience you've had with a promoter and the best experience you've had with a promoter?
Aaron, I think he's trying to get us to burn bridges, man.
No.
You don't have to name names.
No, you can say promoter X, you know, or whatever.
Okay, let me put it to you this way. Aaron, do you mind if I go first?
Please, go first. I don't want to.
Okay, unless you really want to, man. I'm a gentleman.
You go ahead, brother. You go ahead.
Okay, maybe you should go first because this is going to take a while.
No, Aaron, go ahead. It's all right.
God damn it. All right. Honestly, and Aaron will agree with me on this, there are way too many to mention them all.
You know what?
Wrestling is a very shady, cutthroat, dangerous business. All right? For 4 years, I worked for a company. I worked my way up from the bottom to the top. I became their champion. You know what? I was their champion, but they refused to pay me. Okay? You know, generally the champion is the biggest draw, right?
Exactly.
In fact, I won't name the name of the promotion, but I'll tell you where it was. It was in Piqua, Ohio. Okay.
Oy.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I know who you're talking about.
This particular promotion gave my body, I gave a lot of my heart to. You know what? And I built Piqua with my bare hands. Built all the fans that came there. They came to see me. You know why? Because I was over. I was the champion and I was over. But the promoter still, who was supposed to be a friend of mine, refused to pay me. I, being the young lad that I was very naive. Be it angry, I was still naive and let it happen. So it kept going and going and going until, you know what, I couldn't take much more. And then finally someone smartened me up and told me, you know what, you're an idiot, Dustin. You're an idiot for letting them do this to you. You are the biggest draw. You bring in the most fans. Why are you doing this? And you know what? I left that company. You know what? They've not drawn the same in Piqua, Ohio ever since. That is the truth.
By the way, I won't mention who they are either, but are they still running? You know?
I call it that. Ooh. They're running for 25 people in Piqua, Ohio.
I'm not one of those anymore.
I know the promotion you're talking about, but I'm not naming it either. Ugh.
Not going to give
on.
Them the justice. I'm not going to put them over. I'm not going to give them the rub.
Good.
Aaron?
I'm just trying to think. How are we doing on time, Robert?
Does it matter on the 100 show?
Not at all. Not at all.
Aaron That's Williams. Right. Now, Aaron, please. Please. Aaron has good ones, too.
Oh, man. I was really hoping I wouldn't have to talk during this one. But I think the worst experience I've ever had is, Dustin can probably tell you, I've vented out about it quite a few times because I still currently am, working with the place. So, as I mentioned earlier, I have had problems with the promoters who, you know, I'm having problems with, but I continue to go because of the fans. Well, an easy way to put it is I'm basically in the same exact position that Dustin was in, where he put his body on the line and he built the fan base and so on and so forth, and they refused to give him anything near to what he's worth or anything of that sort. And I'm basically kind of in the same boat. Now, on the other hand, though, that's really the only besides from the place where I was brought up and where I wrestled for 2 or 3 years and never got paid a dime. Aside from that, I haven't had too many really bad experiences with promoters. I've had some really good experiences with promoters. I think that our HWA promoter is a really good promoter. I think IPW's promoter is a really good promoter. He always tries to take care of his guys the best way he possibly can. And you know, as many bad experiences I've had, which could take up a long amount of time, I don't really want to go there. So, but I have had my bad experiences, but I'd like to think that my good ones have outweighed the bad.
I mean, if not, why are we still doing this, you know?
Exactly. Like we
not
get,
totally
we get
all
bad. Love. We got a whole lot of love when we went to Elkhart.
Me and Aaron tore it down. I mean, and we had people hating us, and then afterwards they offered us free food. It was tremendous.
Is it harder or easier to wrestle somebody that you know so well? In other words, if you guys wrestle each other a lot, right?
Say the least.
Okay. Is it harder to sort of say, okay, we're going to do this type of match? You know what I'm saying? Is it harder to create something new and different, as you were saying?
Honestly, I think I can speak for Dustin and I in the same. It's me and Dustin. We're not really about so much as the moves as we are about a story. And Dustin and I have been blessed enough to work with each other enough times that we kind of know before we even do anything what the other one's going to do and what the other one wants and desires out of a match. So we can pretty much, since we've worked with each other so much, I think it's a huge assistance, especially since we're doing tag now. We don't even have to go as far as to tell the other one what's going on. We just automatically know.
Yeah.
Aaron?
That was Aaron.
Say this right now. Uh-huh. I love you, brother.
And I you, man.
That's from the heart. You know what? I'm saying it. I mean it. We don't say it enough, man.
I love you, man.
It's not the drugs.
There's a whole lot of male love going on in this.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Would you guys be freaked out if I told... Never mind.
Heterosexual love.
Yeah,
heterosexual.
Now, you also said that characters are sort of hard to build. What about the idea that so many independent wrestlers think they can cut a promo on the mic, but usually can't? Why do you think that is?
Oh, my goodness, because they think they're absolutely awesome. You know, there's only a few people out there that know they're awesome, and you're talking to them right now, okay? Now, with guys on the independent scene who think they cut the absolute greatest promo of all time, generally if a person tells you, I can cut a mean promo,
usually can't.
Nine times out of ten, it's absolutely the shit. I don't know the reasoning behind that. Honestly, that's like someone saying, hey, I play a really awesome guitar, or I sing really awesome, you should come out and listen to me sing karaoke, because trust me, I've been there. And then when you go out and actually listen to him sing karaoke, you want to put a gun in your mouth and blow your brains away?
Yeah.
I had the absolute misfortune of wrestling a show in Dayton, Ohio, and then going out afterwards with some family. To, what was it, Frickers? Do you guys have Frickers everywhere? Is Frickers everywhere,
yeah,
or is it just...
Yeah. Frickers is a regional thing, yeah.
Never heard of it, but okay.
Anyways, Frickers is a sports bar. Think of it kind of like BW3s.
Okay,
yeah.
I know BW3. Yeah. I've been to Ohio, but yes.
Okay. They were doing karaoke night. Well, the asshole waitress thought it would be nice to put us right next to the karaoke machine. First night of my life, I never want to hear karaoke again.
Ouch.
I kind of like karaoke. That's too bad.
What was that, Aaron? You don't like karaoke?
No, I actually do. I kind of like karaoke. I can sit back and laugh. I mean, then again, I've never been right next to the speaker either. So.
Oh, man. I don't know. Maybe, just going off on a tangent here about karaoke, but God, I hate it. We're just never going to a karaoke bar after a show. I just want you to know that, Aaron.
Cool, brother. All right. Cool.
You know, we can go to a bar, and that's cool. You can get your apple pie with ice cream, and I'll get my fruity drink. And we'll just make that our thing.
That's right.
Since you guys travel together so much, I want to hear a road story.
Yeah.
We need a road story.
Justin, you want to tell the hotel one?
Oh, I was about to say that there was no real obscene road stories with me and you, but
yeah,
then I forgot about that
obscene
one.
Yeah.
Oh.
This one's not like us, really, though, so it's still funny.
So Aaron, myself, and the Irish Airborne are in the murder capital of Ohio, which is Youngstown, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
we wrestled a show in Youngstown, and we decided that since we are going to Pennsylvania to IWC, International Wrestling Cartel, the next day, that we would get a hotel room. Motel room, whatever. And it's one of those nice motel rooms that are right next to a truck stop slash strip club slash rub and tug slash porn shop. It was a real classy place.
Oh, jeez. Oh, boy.
I call that right next door.
And, well, anyways, we all got a room together. And so we're sitting there in our hotel room, minding our own business, watching TV. And as I take that, you know, I'm missing a certain part. Those motel rooms that are like outside and you can drive up and the parking lot's like right outside your door.
Yeah.
And then the rooms are like right across the parking lot too. It's one of those. It's not an indoor one. But anyways, we're laying there minding our own business, watching Jeopardy or whatever. And we all of a sudden we hear a loud breaking glass. Immediately Aaron Williams thinks, "Oh God, my car!" Because he's the only car in the parking lot. We jump up to go check his car. We look out the window to see a drunk guy who had punched a hole through a plate glass window right across the parking lot.
Wow.
He had locked himself out and couldn't get in, so he punched a hole through the window and still couldn't get in and then stumbled off into the darkness. Well, being the people that we are, we went to go investigate. So we ran across the parking lot to the hotel room and peered inside the hole to see two drunk guys passed out on their heads, completely knocked out. They didn't even hear anything. They didn't hear the guy punching through the window or banging on the door at all. So us thinking, wow, we got to protect Aaron's ride. You know, we called front desk. They called the police. Well, the police come. They're knocking on the door. They manage to wake the drunk guys up. The drunk guys, to their own surprise, don't realize how a gigantic hole the size of a basketball got in their plate glass window in their hotel or their motel room, and are trying to tell the police officer in the best English that they can because they can't speak English. Let's just say that. Had no car, can't speak any English. I'm willing to bet they were illegal aliens. But was trying to explain to the police officer that he has no idea what happened. Well, as that's going on, the guy who actually broke the window is stumbling up back to the police.
Oh, God.
And then they ask the guy, because his hand is gushing blood, they went on to tell the guy, "No more break stuff. No more break stuff. We will arrest you. We will arrest you. No more break stuff."
Oh, wow.
And then they let him go. And then for the rest of the night, myself, Aaron Williams, and the Irish Airborne feared for our lives. But
thank God you're still alive today.
Thank God we are still alive today. You know what? Because that next day, we actually went to Cracker Barrel, and it was delicious. I had the best eggs and grits I ever had in my life.
I like the Cracker Barrel on the road. That is good stuff.
We don't have a Cracker Barrel here.
I'm sorry, man.
You're missing out, man.
We don't even have a Chick-fil-A. We just actually finally got a Sonic over here.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you're all the way on the West Coast, right?
Yeah.
You got the Space Needle.
Yeah. Yeah.
All you need, man. You got the Space Needle.
Yeah, but it costs like $20 to get in.
Yeah, but it's the Space Needle, man.
I'll give you one good place for food. If you're ever in Seattle and you want to fill up right for $12, you go to a place called Cactus Restaurant. They have, yeah, Cactus Restaurant. There are a couple of locations, but they have the most delicious $12 nachos you'll ever have. Everything is cooked to order.
Well, I tell you what, if I ever make it out that way, which I hope that I do someday, I would definitely look for a Cactus Restaurant. Can I tell you where not to eat?
Yeah.
Okay. Never eat at Penguin Point. Never. Have you ever heard of a Penguin Point?
No.
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 Good, because they suck. They suck so bad. know, they have a, they sell a burger named the Big Willie.
Oh, God.
And I just like to hear him say, one Big Willie. That's all. Mm-hmm. Done.
So overall, what is the best thing about doing what you guys do?
If I could name one thing, I would be in the business for the wrong reason. I love everything about the business, even the shadiness.
Yeah, I mean,
like living a movie every day of my life.
It's just a great. I mean, if you got the stomach for it, if you got the patience for it, it's just a great business to be in. You kind of get to be a superhero and the biggest bad guy you can possibly imagine at the same time. It's awesome.
So, talking about good guys and bad guys, what would you guys rather play, faces or heels?
Wow.
Would we rather play? Well, I mean, really, just we are extensions of who we really are. And some people may disagree or whatever, and I'm sure Aaron would disagree with me on my persona, knowing me as personally as he does. But, you know, I don't know. Actually, what's really funny is when Aaron and I were in Elkhart, we had a fan walk up to us while we were eating at the Texas Roadhouse that the show was actually put on by. And asked us if we were always bad guys. And Aaron very, very quickly goes, well, he is.
it's the first thing that pops in my head, you know.
But, I mean, when it comes down to what we'd rather play, it's not really what we want to play. I mean, you know, you get those people the promoters who ask you to do a certain thing. But if you're over with the crowd, you know what? You're over with the crowd. Run with it. If the crowd hates you, run with it. You know what? Normally, I'm pretty damn good at making people hate me.
What was the best thing that just got you the best heat?
Besides making fun of a man in a wheelchair?
Oh, no way. Wow. That's good.
I wasn't proud of it. It was funny.
Okay.
Oh, I don't get heat.
Aaron doesn't get heat.
It just doesn't exist.
I mean, he's Aaron Williams. He doesn't get heat.
I'll never be what they consider a heel, I don't think.
Aaron is not being 100% honest with you. He was doing an amazing job of making people not like him in Elkhart, Indiana.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for putting me over, Dean.
Which,
Dustin Ray's loves me. He's like my he's my personal cheering section.
Aaron, I just publicly admitted to you on this show that I love you, man.
I know.
I would let you live with me. I would let you sleep in the same bed as me. Maybe not that far, and you know what? I'm sure that would make you feel uncomfortable, but brother, I would do it for you.
Well, thanks, man.
I'm not even gay, man.
You know what? I might be tearing up right now. Yeah.
Ain't love grand, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, it is completely okay. It's fine
to get Aaron Williams to
admit that they love each other.
There you go.
Completely fine.
You know what? That's what makes us an awesome tag team.
That's right.
Well,
I'm the spice and Aaron's everything nice.
Yeah. But avoid the chemical X, otherwise you turn to the Powerpuff Girls.
You know, that was amazing.
With that bad joke aside, I'd like to thank you two for coming on to our show and enlightening us and making us probably have the best hour that we've ever had on our
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, guys,
hey,
I really appreciate that.
My pleasure. It was our pleasure, for real.
Dustin, will I be seeing you in Cincinnati next week for Jimmy's?
Oh, damn, is that next week? You know, no one keeps me up to date on Jimmy's shows.
Oh, geez. Let me look. No, I stand corrected. August 6th. If I
tell
could
you what.
Yeah.
you can ask Jimmy Yang if he would like Dustin Reyes to appear on his show. And you know what? While you're at it, why don't you ask if he would like Aaron Williams to appear on his show? So it'd make it just a little bit better.
I would love to have both of you down there, personally. I will drop a line to Jimmy, or you guys can go hit up his MySpace. Hit mine, and it's in my top eight. I got to move some people around. You guys can bug him, or I can bug him, because I'm still trying to get Carlton Cavs to commit regular to the show.
Okay. Well, I had the open invitation from Jimmy that anytime I want to come down to do it, and I'd like to use it.
Okay. Aaron, you know you're welcome. I'm saying that, but who the hell am I to
goddamn independent manager in Ohio. How's that?
Thank you very much.
Can I make a few plugs real quick?
Go ahead.
Please.
Not only are you going to get a chance to see Aaron Williams in when is the 29th? Is that this weekend coming up?
No, that's actually this coming Wednesday.
Oh, damn. What am I? I can't tell time. I need a calendar in front of me.
I have a calendar right in front of me.
The 29th is Wednesday, so you're talking HWA.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, the 1st is what I want to put over in Sanity Pro Wrestling. You can actually come see Aaron Williams and myself in Sanity Pro Wrestling on the 1st. Actually, I take that back. You can see Aaron Williams in Insanity Pro Wrestling on the 1st. Myself, I'll actually be making the very long and arduous journey to New York and New Jersey for Jersey All-Pro Wrestling. But after that, I'm trying to think of the other days that you can actually see Aaron Williams and myself if you are in the tri-state. But mostly every Wednesday down at the HWA Arena in Middletown, Ohio.
Yeah.
There you go.
Actually, now I'm doing a Drake Younger's Psycho Circus show where I'll be wrestling Chance Prophet.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm just ready to drop shameless plugs for us.
Keep going, man.
I tell you what, let me think. For myself, I know I'm going to be August 15th, I'm going to be in Fremont, Ohio for Hybrid Wrestling, which if you have not checked out Hybrid Wrestling yet, Hybrid Wrestling is actually a feeder company for the new Dragon Gate USA.
Ah, which is, I believe, debuting this weekend,
wow.
Correct?
Mm-hmm. I think. I'm not really sure. But actually, you can actually see guys like Flip Kendrick and who else is going there? Johnny Gargano. They're actually going to be on the 1st show with a lot of Chikara guys. So, but yeah, actually, Hybrid Wrestling, if you have not had a chance to check them out, probably one of the best independent wrestling promotions in Ohio, hands down. That's my shameless plug.
We're all about the shameless plug here, guys.
Yeah.
Yes, blockpartypodcast.com for Jason Block's original show.
Thank you very much. I have more stuff to plug later, but we'll get to that. But yeah, guys, again, you guys, thank you very much. You just raised our show a couple of notches up in the class department. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys, and I'll be in touch about Jimmy's.
All right. Later, guys. Aaron, I love you, brother.
Love you, man.
See you at home.
See ya.
Well, that was fun, wasn't it, guys?
That was great.
Yeah, that was.
That was.
Yeah.
I just kept my mouth shut.
Yeah, good move, guys. No, that was great. I hope I didn't overtake, Robert. I hope I did okay.
No, you did quite all right. Well,
these two are great guys.
Yeah, they are. And we have a couple new callers. DJ, is that you?
Yeah, hey, guys, it's DJ. I can only stay on for about a minute or so I'll be very brief with my comments. I know you have a jam-packed show lined up. I'm on vacation traveling between Chicago and Iowa, and I would be remiss if I didn't at least call in and thank you for the opportunity to contribute to the show on a regular basis. You guys and ladies are very intelligent, very funny, and very passionate wrestling fans, and it's a pleasure to be on with you every week. It really is. I wish you the best on this, the 100th show. I already know it'll be much better than TNA's 200th next week, but I guess that's not saying all that much.
Ouch.
And any event, here's to the next 100. Best wishes, and I'll see you all next week. Good night, guys.
Thank you, DJ.
Thank you, DJ. Thank you.
And we have another person here, Jared C. Hello.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Not very well.
But yeah, I'm a big time fan of all bands, indie, Japan, everything.
It's kind of really hard to hear you. You're
going in and out.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of all wrestling fans, proud present.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So, what are you guys' favorite indie fans?
I can't comment on that one because I've never been to a wrestling show.
I've only been to the E, so.
Well, there you go.
But yeah, I follow everything I can.
Well, thank you for your comment, and thanks for being on the show. Take care.
No problem. Bye.
So, what are we going to do here? I'm going to make a schedule change on the fly here. Let's move Room 101 to next week. Because I know some people don't have picks ready. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. I think
some do, some don't. Let's just push it off.
Yeah.
All right. We'll push that to next week.
And we could do Pick'ems and Archive if we have to.
Yeah, because I know Jason wants to win some money.
You know,
that's right.
Shaming begin.
Here we go. Nikki, if you would, please, I am both, because we talked a little about this, the category list. Now, I'm going to explain.
No.
What?
No categories.
You don't want
them? I am the category list. Let's just do it off the top of our heads.
Oh, okay.
We get the question, 1, 2, 3, so we don't know.
Oh, okay. No, I understand now. Okay. So you're just gonna go off the top of our. Sure, she's gonna pick a rent. She's gonna pick the category.
Yeah. Yeah. She has the categories. She has all the questions ready to go.
Okay. So you know the Beat the Geeks rules, right?
Pretty much.
No, I'm going.
Robert,
you do know it, right?
Yeah. She has a question. She's going to ask us 1, 2, or 3 points. We choose which one we want to take. If we get it right, we get that amount of points. However, because of Beat the Block rules, if we get it wrong, the other person can steal the points with the correct answer. I believe, is that true?
Yeah. Is correct. That is correct. And the first to 10 wins.
All right. Little state extra added bonus in here. The winner gets $25 of the other person's money.
Pretty much. Now, because you suggested this, would you like me to go first, or would you like to go first yourself?
It's my show, and since my name's on the top of the roster, I'll go first.
Go for it.
Use that political stroke.
I don't have political stroke. So, Quizmaster Nikki Heyman, go for it.
All right, so how many points of a question do you want?
Let's start off with a 2.
A 2. Okay. Along the way of, you can't do that on television, but they did anyway. WWE management individual had a minor wardrobe malfunction at a WWE wedding.
Ooh. Say that question again, please.
A member of WWE management had a minor wardrobe malfunction at an on-air wedding.
At an on-air wedding.
So you're asking which person was this?
Who was this person?
Okay. Let's see here. I'm thinking back. I know who you're talking about. I think this was at the most recent wedding, which was the Teddy Long Crystal Marshall wedding. I'm going to take a stab at this, and I'm going to guess, was it... At that time, was it Michael PSA's?
Incorrect. Jason Hughes, you like to take a stab at this?
I am going to guess and say Eric Bischoff.
Removing a disguise doesn't count as a wardrobe malfunction.
All right, all right. So who was it?
The audience steal.
Well, no, it was Stephanie McMahon. She kind of came out of her dress when she got pedigreed at the renewal of vows.
Oh. Okay. Bad guess.
That one is used. Settlement, since nobody got the question, I guess you go again.
No, Jason does. No, I get to choose
Jason.
Now.
Okay.
I will pick another two-pointer, please.
Okay, under Opportunity Lost,
ooh,
who's the most current Rumble winner who didn't get to use his title shot at WrestleMania?
The most current Rumble... Okay, so in other words, who is the... Who has... In other words, who has not gotten a title shot...
Who won the Rumble, didn't get his title shot at WrestleMania.
Who did not.
Did not.
Okay. Okay, just going back. I am going... Who did not get... I'm going to go... is it Ric Flair in 92?
No, sir. Seidelman?
I know this one. It was 1999. He put up the title shot... he put up the title shot against Stone Cold Steve Austin at the St. Valentine's Day Massacre pay-per-view before WrestleMania, therefore losing the title shot to Steve Austin. It was Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Very good try. Now, I might be wrong.
Okay.
John Cena won the Royal Rumble in 2008 and used his title shot at No Way Out.
But he had the title shot at WrestleMania.
He was still in a title match, though.
Okay, I'll throw that one out.
Yeah, throw that one out. That is not right. So
that's my fault.
So can we have another two-point question for me, then?
No, since you already answered incorrectly, it would go to me. Be like Super Bowl sports trivia rules, I think.
Okay, fine.
All right, so I get the two-point question, but you don't get a chance to rebuttal because your original answer wasn't even the right answer.
That is correct, right. So you just get a two-point question, and that's right. Yeah.
Okay, two-point question under Hit My Music.
Okay.
This former WWE, now TNA superstar, was taught to dance for his entrance video.
He was told to dance for his entrance video?
Yes.
Oh, God. Thinking back. Trying to think of, wasn't Team 3D, wasn't I'm going to say Scott Steiner?
Incorrect. Jason, you want to try it?
No, that I don't get a shot at this because this was the rebuttal to the 2 point. Stop.
Okay. The answer is Mick Foley.
That's right.
Was taught
to dance by Vince McMahon, so he could dance even whiter in his Dude Love character.
Yes.
You know what? I think I'm going to see if I can get a point on the board. Let me take a one pointer, please.
No, it'd be my next question because mine was the rebuttal.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. He got it. That's right.
I'll take a 2 point question.
All right. Canadian Chris's.
Canadian Chris's, okay.
Only one of these Chris's is a Grand Slam champion. Which one is it?
Okay, one of the two. I don't know. God, it's one of... I know it's Canadian Chris's, so we know which two it is. I'm trying to remember who was in that. I know Chris Jericho was in that WrestleMania match, but I think he won the Intercontinental title. I think he held the European title. Okay. Is it Chris Benoit?
No, sir. Jason.
It's Jericho.
Not Jericho.
Jericho won the European fall, but the loss is the next night to Eddie.
Oh, it was WrestleMania where he won it.
Okay, so, that's 2 points. That's 2 points for Jason.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I will take a 1 point question, please.
All right. Category is referees.
Okay.
This TNA ref decided to break convention and doesn't wear pants when he works until recently.
Okay, is it Slick Johnson?
Yep.
Very good.
Okay.
Legacy has a ref.
So it's three.
He wore soccer shorts. That doesn't count.
Yeah.
But they weren't pants. Okay. 3 point question, you said?
No. It's 3-0. Robert goes.
Oh, okay. Rob?
I'm going to go for a 3.
Whoa. Okay.
All right.
Some stones.
The category is as not seen on TV.
As not seen on TV.
These superstars are no longer shown in the video clips when Vince McMahon was shaved bald. And to get the 3 points, you got to tell me both of them.
Okay, superstars not shown in where Vince McMahon was shaved bald?
Yes.
Okay. I know one of them is Bobby Lashley.
Okay.
Trump's not a superstar, and he would have been shown prominently. Umaga was chased off. Stone Cold Steve Austin. Bobby Lashley and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
No. Jason?
Oh.
Bobby Lashley and Shane McMahon.
I might almost have to give you that. Because, no, they show the Van Cannonator.
So, okay, but you said when his head is being shaved. Is that the way you? So what do you have as the answer?
Umaga and Bobby Lashley.
Oh. Then Shane was wrong.
So then Shane was wrong, so. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, nobody gets a point.
Okay.
Because I thought Umaga was chased off.
No, he would know. All right. I will, I'll take another 2-pointer, please.
All right. The topic is, you're no champion.
Okay.
This WWE champion picked up the belt in 2002, 6 months after being a longtime jobber on Raw.
Picked up the championship.
Picked up a championship in 2002.
Picked up a championship, not the championship. A champion.
He had the top belt.
Okay. So he was the undisputed champion.
No, this was after the undisputed championship, and around the time when the world heavyweight title was reintroduced.
Okay. After being a long time jobber on Raw. Wow. I'm going to say, wow. Scott Hall.
No, sir. Rob?
World champion 2002.
2002.
Okay. Got to figure out who was world champion at that time. This WWE champion is what you're talking about, right?
Yes, the WWE title.
Okay. I know longtime jobber on Raw wasn't Kurt Angle. Who? Not Eddie.
Oh, break.
Was it Kane?
Not. No. No. Again.
What was it? Cena. I'm just guessing.
Cena wasn't
no.
04, 05. I mean.
Who was
no.
It?
Big Show.
Oh.
Okay. He was a long-time job.
He had been jobbed all over the Raw roster, was brought over to SmackDown, managed by Paul Heyman, and took the WWE title off of Lesnar.
Yep.
He was even jobbing on Heat.
Yeah, one of the most unbelievable champions. And I don't count Triple H just being handed the belt in September.
Okay. Right. Robert's on you, so it's still
3 points,
up.
Please.
3 points for Mr. Seidelman.
Wow, okay.
Getting crap past the radar. Rock had to change a recipe because somebody translated the word he was using. What was the word?
Say that. Repeat the question.
Rock had to change a recipe. I'm kind of being creative here. Because somebody translated the word he was using.
Somebody translated the word he was using. The recipe. Was the word that was taken out or changed? Was it poontang?
Very, very good. That's 3 points for Mr. Seidelman.
Wow. Now, what was the thing in question?
Probably some poontang pie.
Yeah.
Poontang.
It became just pie.
Because poontang is, I believe, Vietnamese for pussy.
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah, very. Okay, so it's 3-3. I'll take another two, please.
Ready? Okay, we'll use that one, so I'll just go down here. WWE Elsewhere,
okay.
Referring to WWE superstars past and present showing up in other places.
Mm-hmm.
This former WWF champion had some very ladylike moments in the remake of The Longest Yard.
Former WWE champion?
More probably WWF, because he never won a title after they got the FL.
Was it Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Sir, Seidelman, do you want it?
Let's see. Repeat the question again.
This former WWF champion had some very ladylike moments in the remake of The Longest Yard.
Ladylike? Well, a WWF champion. Are we talking world champion or just straight, or any champion?
World champion.
It was world champion. WWF world champion. Wasn't Brett, was it? Let's see here. Was it Kevin Nash?
Mm-hmm. Very good. That's two more for Rob.
Wow, so it's 5-3. 5-3.
Mm-hmm.
I will take a two-point question.
All right. Two-point question in referees. This WCW and WWE ref who is now retired was very easy to bribe, especially in WCW.
Would that be Nick Patrick?
Very good.
Wow, 7-3. Okay. Wow. I got to go for a three.
All right. Okay, opportunity lost.
Okay.
Name the tag team, and this is current, that won a number one contendership. They never got to use it because they were released. Since they're rehiring, it hasn't been mentioned again.
Crime Time.
Yep.
Very good.
So it's 7-6.
That's
now,
correct.
Here's the deal, Robert. If you choose a three and get it, you will automatically win.
Yeah, and I think it's a no-brainer here. I want to put this out right now. Let's go for a three.
All right. The feuds we missed.
Okay.
This monster matchup had zero build-up and was spoiled by the fact that both participants were leaving the company.
I'm sorry, Jason. I love you.
I know.
WrestleMania 20, Brock Lesnar versus Bill Goldberg.
You got it. That was an easy three, but you're right. So you win. You will get your payment on the first. Trust me. Congratulations, sir.
I make these questions too hard in some cases.
No, that is actually not a, that is, that's okay. But no, you did awesome. That was great. Some of them I should have gotten, some of them I didn't. But you know what? You have proven, you have beaten the block, and you have $25 of my own money.
I'm sorry, I gotta play this.
There you go.
You to play that.
That is cool. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you, Jason.
Gentlemen, that was a blast. I'm going to replace some of those questions. Next time somebody wants to pull this, let me know.
All
right.
Yeah. So we've got 10 minutes left to do pick-ups, pretty much,
We'll probably do part of it on air. We'll do part of it on archive.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
let's all get busy.
Okay, so Fourth is not here, so I'm removing him from the list for now.
Yeah, I'm honestly shocked at what happened at the beginning.
Yeah.
Did he just really get upset about something?
I just said I couldn't find anything funny to introduce him with, and then he just exploded, kind of like Typho quipped. It was like the beginning of a Brian Pillman gimmick.
Okay.
All right, so...
He just pretty much told everybody to fuck themselves, and he hung up.
All right. Wow. Sorry to hear that. Fourth, if you're listening, I don't know what we did, but, you know, you're always welcome here.
Yeah.
Onward, upward.
Onward, yeah. Let's start. How many matches we have, and how many points do we got?
I think 8 matches, 9 points possible because of a triple threat. 10 points.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, 8 matches.
10 points.
Ten
right.
points.
Yep. Okay.
We're gonna do 10 points. If WWE would not be so waggalicious.
I have the hold on, give me a sec. The card. Give me a minute. You said 8 matches. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, hold on a minute.
Yeah, 8 matches, 10 points each.
I'm sending you something.
Got it.
Oh, you got it? Okay.
Yeah, I got it on WWE.com. So, let's get started. Is everybody ready? VRM, you're taking this down, right?
Yep.
Okay, first match. I think this is going to be an easy one. We have Maurice versus Mickey James. Who wins? We start with Stat Boy this time around.
I am going to pick Mickey James to take the belt off of Maurice and become the second person to hold both the Women's and Divas Championship.
VRM.
I agree wholeheartedly, although I really wish you didn't have to take this stupid belt, but yeah, Mickey.
Typho.
I am also going with Mickey James.
Nikki.
There's a reason why I sometimes call it the My Little Pony belt. That's for Mickey.
Oh. Damn, Mickey, damn.
Jason.
Maurice has been getting the better of her for weeks. Mickey James takes it.
What was
Carl.
Mickey's pick? I didn't hear it.
Mickey James.
Mickey.
Carl?
Well, in the words of Bill Raffer, we'll have a dual implication, Mickey.
And I am officially stating it will be Mickey James as well. First two-pointer of the night, Chris Jericho and a mystery partner versus Ted DiBiase and Cody Rhodes. Here are the two-point quests. Here is the question. Who? I can't get over the stupid name for the pay-per-view bragging rights. Okay. What team wins the match? And the two-point question is, who is Chris Jericho's mystery partner? Carl?
Oh, okay. You do. Then you could have 11 points because of the six-pack challenge, but all right.
Yep.
You want to make it 10 or 11?
It'll just be 10.
Okay.
Okay. Now, see.
Carl?
Oh, hi. Unfortunately, I'll have to go with Jericho retaining. And as far as his partner goes, that's a toughie. I'm going to throw this out, though, guys and the lady there. If you notice on Twitter with this little feud between Miz and Jericho, tweets back and forth. Is Miz doing anything on the pay-per-view?
He's in the six-pack challenge, I believe.
Okay, then that's a definite no. I'll just put a random name to him. How about William Regal?
Jason?
Chris Jericho retains, and his partner is going to be none other than the All-American American, Jack Swagger.
Nikki?
Jericho's going to retain, and he's going to come out, his partner, someone who tells it like it is. Okay. His partner's Dolph Ziggler.
Michael.
Yeah, I'm going with Team Jericho retaining. And Chris Jericho's partner will be... the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Ooh!
Whoa!
Cool.
VRM.
Good choice, because he needs to debut. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Is Masters confirmed returning? I want to make that clear.
Yeah, he signed a contract.
Yeah. Ditto to typo. Jericho retains Masters' partner.
Stepboy?
Man, am I going to go so against every grain. Legacy wins the tag team titles. And Chris Jericho's mystery partner, Christian, is going to be staring at lights.
Interesting.
Well, I'm going to say that Jericho retains. But you want to know who his partner's going to be?
Yeah.
Screw your boobs.
No.
Kozlov.
Interesting choice.
It's going to be Vladimir Kozlov because he's not doing anything.
There's a reason for that. Yeah, a very good one.
The real answer should be Jericho's partner will be Ralphus.
That'd be awesome.
Yes, that's a classic one. We have a minute left. Let's get this next match done quick so we can say goodbye to the live listeners. Tommy Dreamer versus Christian in one word or less. Sorry. Stepboy.
Hardcore.
Let's see. Look at the dictionary. Okay, you're queen. Because I know in password that would, who knows, maybe in some instance would be buzzed. VRM.
Tommy.
Typo.
Peeps.
Nikki.
Dreamer.
Jason.
Charisma.
Carl.
Innovator.
Innovator of violence, Tommy.
Yeah, I know. I gotta think of my word. Okay, I got it.
I'll make up the joke.
Kill switch.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's two words.
No, that's one
kill
word.
Switch
I'm being an ass.
Word. That's one word.
I'm being an ass. Now, yeah, let's go ahead.
All right, we're going to end the live segment right here with me being $25 richer. and the bragging rights. So let's close up the live section for tonight. So for Nikki Heyman, Carl Schneer, for Statboy Josh Henniger, VRM, Typho, and the Broken Block, Jason Block.
Okay.
I have Robert Seidelman saying, well, thank you for listening us to this beautiful 100 show, and we'll do it again for number 200. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Yeah, from the live broadcast.
Come on, voice feel the noise. Is. Girls, rock your voice. Mm-hmm. Get wild, wild, wild.
Okay, women. All right. Okay.
Sorry. Okay.
Screw your moves!
Woo!
We should have played.
Speaking of, I'm going to have to play for this match.
Screw your moves!
Women's title match, McCool versus Melina. Let's just get this over with. Carl.
McCool.
Jason?
Melina in a match no one gives a damn about.
Nikki?
Jason has a point, so I'm only going to take half. Oh, okay.
Typho.
Because of the definite threat of fist taping, I'm taking McCool.
VRM.
The correct answer is or a sound of a toilet flush for a piss break.
And I lose the soundboard. Stat boy.
Well, let's see now. I'll learn from what happened last week, fucking Jenna Maraska, and take the half point.
Ditto. Half point. Six-pack challenge. Kingston, Cho, MVP, Carlito, Swagger versus The Miz. Can Kofi overcome the odds? Oh, my!
Vintage Michael Cole.
Thank you.
Oh.
Controlled frenzy.
And yes, I'm bringing that sign and the dangerous to go alone sign when I go to Raw.
Yes. And unless they get on the air, you don't get paid. Who wins that boy?
Let's see now.
Right, pick
Kingston.
VRM.
Kingston. Change.
Isn't there going to be a second point for this match?
No.
It said 8 matches, 10 points.
Yeah.
So that would mean that something else has a
yeah, there
triple
is.
Threat.
Which match was a triple threat? I forget.
The
WWE
main event.
All right. Let's see. Big Show's got the momentum because he just destroyed everyone. I'm going to go with Kofi overcoming the odds.
Typho.
I think Kofi's overcome the odds a few times already, so I'm going to take Jack Swagger.
Nikki.
Ooh. I think Kofi's already doing a pretty good job. I think he'll retain.
Jason.
This is where The Miz gets his time. It's a shine. He is an arrogant a-hole who deserves to have the U.S. title around his waist.
Who are you taking, The Miz?
Yes, I am.
Carl.
I am going along with my fellow New Yorker. I'm going with The Miz also.
I'm going Swagger. Rey Mysterio versus Dolph Ziggler in one word or less, Carl.
Can you repeat that? You gotta scramble a little bit.
Rey Mysterio versus Dolph Ziggler in one word or less.
Ray.
Jason.
Ray. Oh, come on.
Ah.
That's four words.
Good.
Nikki.
Mysterio. I wish I had more than one word.
By the way, but this match will be good. I'm just
yeah.
No, it'll be short. In more ways than one. That's
Ooh. Yay.
Ooh.
Yay.
Typho, save us.
Booyaka.
VRM.
Diego.
Ooh, good one.
That boy.
Booyaka. Hey, you took it.
I know. Penis.
You're
what?
Huh? Excuse me?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Did you just say what I think you just said?
Yes, he did.
I'm picking Dolph Ziggler.
Yes, he is.
Oh, my God.
Did you say that?
Can I at least get some explanation?
Say
that.
CM Punk versus Jeff Hardy. Step boy.
Straight edge. Big time.
VRM.
By segment momentum, it would go to Jeff, but by match momentum, it's going to Punk. Punk wins and retains.
Typho.
Punk.
Nikki.
Punk won't say it on the air, but he's better than Jeff, and he's going to retain.
Jason.
This is, if the rumors are true, this is Jeff Hardy's swan song. Jeff Hardy is going to give the fans what they want, which is going to be an incredible match. But Punk is going to cement his heel turn and basically set up for the eventual Punk-Morrison feud, which is going to headline SummerSlam. Thank you very much.
That's
going to
be awesome.
Very, very, very awesome.
Punk wins.
Carl. Oh.
Three times loser, Punk wins.
Strike three, CM Punk wins.
Ooh, that's bad, but okay.
It's not nice, but I get it.
Triple threat match. Bye, Karen. WWE Championship triple threat, Randy Orton versus Triple H versus John Cena. Thanks for setting up this match, Ted. 2 points possible. Who wins, who falls? Carl.
Oh, boy. Is a full point in effect here?
Yes.
Ding me, please.
Oh,
ding.
Wow.
Oh. Jason.
I am not going to ding, thank you very much. Since John Cena got the momentum at last week's Raw, we are going to have Randy Orton pin Triple H through a screw-up on Cena, setting up Triple H Cena at SummerSlam.
And who faces off against Orton?
How about the returning Shawn Michaels?
All right, Nikki.
I like Jason's idea. Yeah. No, I take that back. John Cena's involved, momentum or not. Don't bet against John Cena. Cena wins, and he pins. No shit. Think. One heel against two faces, yeah. No, Jason's closer to right. Orton retains, but he pins Cena.
Typho.
I'd really love to take the half point on this one because I just don't like this match at all.
You
but
get a full point.
I'm going to use my common sense here. And I'm going to say that the title is going to move on to Triple H after a pedigree on Randy Orton to set up Cena Triple H for the title at SummerSlam.
VRM.
I'm going to hate to say this because I know I'm going to probably be so wrong. Yes, that's going to be the initiation, but then Triple H is going to eat an FU, and yes, I'm still calling it FU, screw you, PG. He's going to get FU'd, and while Orton is flying face up on the mat, Cena is going to take advantage and get the cover for the 1-2-3. Cena over Orton.
And Statboy.
Orton wins, pinning Cena. Legacy walks out of Night of Champions with gold all around their waists.
Wrong. Orton will retain, but he's pinning. Orton will retain, but he's pinning Triple H, setting up a Orton John Cena for SummerSlam. And that's going to do it for this show. Thank you guys for being here for 100.
Thank you very much for having
me.
Yep. Just on a personal note, you know, I came into this, you know, this sort of in the middle of the game.
Around this time last year, actually.
Around this time, yeah, around a year or so ago. And, you know, sort of the show sort of evolved from sort of a results show to a more of an opinion show. And thank you, Robert, for allowing me to do this and allowing me to know all you guys. A call I know from the game show area, but Nikki I never knew. And Nikki has become one of my fastest friends. So thank you for that. And
you're welcome.
All joking aside, thank you again. It's been awesome.
All right. I need to give you my email address, I believe, right?
Who, me? No,
yeah.
No, I got it. mmxfan2@aol.com.
No. My PayPal address.
Yeah, just zip it to me through IM whenever I get a chance. Not now.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thanks for 100, everyone. Good night.
All right. Take care. Good night.
Yeah. Let's do another 100.
Good yeah.
Good night, everyone.
Night.
Hey. Sports Digest on Wednesday.
Diabetes.